Let us pray first of all, Lord, help us now around thy holy word. We need thee, we desire thee, we ask for thy Holy Spirit, thy presence. Give help in the preaching and the speaking. May we be so able to speak as thy people will be receiving benefit in their souls. May they be encouraged. May the Lord be magnified, thy great name glorified in all the proclamation of thy truth from this pulpit and in all our sister pulpits this evening. We humbly pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Psalm 40 then, I draw your attention to the verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. The volume of the book. Tonight I want to speak to you about a library. A library is a collection of books that are contained in a certain place, a certain locality. And I think we all have a library. It might only be a small library with a few dozen books, or it might be a larger library with hundreds of volumes. But we all, I think, have a library of some kind. And you can tell a lot about a man from his library. You can tell if he likes reading or not, for a start. You can tell if he's young or old. You can tell if it's a male or female who owns the library. You could possibly even tell his job, his work, what his career is from his volumes that he owns. You can tell a lot then about a man or a person from their library. But the library that I want to speak about tonight is not man's library. And it's not a library found on earth. Tonight I want to speak to you about God's library. The library of the Most High. A library found in heaven. And just as we can learn a lot about a man from his library, so I think we can learn also a lot about God from his library. God keeps books, you know. And he writes books. He's always writing God. And he stores those books and he keeps them. He doesn't lose any. And we want to walk through the heavenly library tonight and learn about some volumes from the divine collection. Now, of course, we have to start with the Bible. We have to include in God's library the Word of God, the Bible. Now, it's different from God's other books. It is different because it's a book in earth as well as in heaven. It's a book that's visible to us, whereas all these other books that I'm going to talk about are not visible. But the Bible is the book of God. It's his volume. It's the volume that's referred to in the Psalm 40, in the volume of the book. Now, the Bible contains 66 books. They were all written by men, but we know that they were all given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of the church fathers used to call the Bible the divine library. And so it is. It's a little library in itself of 66 books. And every book, every scripture is given by inspiration of God. This we believe, this we confess. God gave the word. Great is the company of them that published it and still continue to publish it, but it was God who gave the word. No scripture, not any text, is of private origin, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And we read in the Psalms, forever, O Lord, thy word. And in the context of Psalm 119, that word is the written word, the text. Because the whole Psalm 119 is about that. And of that word, the psalmist said, thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. So we can be sure that the Bible is among the volumes of the books in God's library in heaven. We have to include the Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament. And all these words that declare unto us the person and the work of Jesus Christ and the glories of the Lamb. Now the sacred volume of which Christ is speaking in Psalm 40, in the volume of the book it is written of me, that volume can only be the Bible. As Martin Luther said, there's only one volume, and that's the volume of the Holy Scriptures. And as I said, you can learn a lot about a man from his library. And you also can learn a lot about God from his library. And so what do we learn about God from the fact that these books of the Bible are given by him and that he has originated them and that he preserves them and keeps them in his library? That's why the ungodly can't touch the Bible. That's why the Bible will never be destroyed, because God maintains it in his library. And what do we learn about God then, whenever we think of these books upon his shelves? Well, we learn this, that he is a God who loves to reveal himself. He is a God who longs to communicate himself to the world below. He is a God who is the Word, and he communicates, and he speaks to men, and he reveals to men his glory. And so he is a God who just loves to show who he is, and he wants us to know him, and so that's why he's given the Bible, that we might know him. He's not a God who shuts himself away and wants to be hidden, concealed. No, he's written out the book, he's written out his word, so that he may show himself to us, and how we can know him, and how we can come to him. Whenever the world fell, God didn't remain silent. He might have, but he didn't. He spake, he raised up prophets, he gave visions and dreams, he put his revelation into book form, and this is God's light to us in a dark world. So this book shows that God is light, that he does not allow the world to abide in darkness, but he wants to illuminate it, the dark fallen world, with his library. So this shows to us that God is good. God is gracious. And God is self-revealing, even to sinners. So the Bible in his library shows us that. But the Bible's not the only book. There are other books too, no less divine, no less glorious. The Bible is God's visible book, as I said, but these other books are invisible. The Bible has copies on earth, but these books have no copies on earth. And they only have the original volumes, and they're all written, and they're kept, and they're preserved in heaven alone. And another book is the book of the decrees. The book of the divine decrees. And the Bible talks about the decrees of God. Psalm 2, for example, if you turn to that now, verse 7, Psalm 2 is about all the turmoil on the earth, all the trouble, all the rebellion against God. Here in the midst of Psalm 2 is someone who speaks and who tells the world that is in rebellion about the divine decree. And verse 7, Psalm 2, verse 7, I will declare the decree. That's all that matters, the decree. And there is a book that God wrote. He wrote it before the world was. He wrote it before creation. In fact, the whole plan of creation is in this book as part of the decrees. God's plan, God's blueprint for the world, his eternal decrees, God has decreed all things. You know, a wise builder or a wise planner or a wise developer of a city, before they'll even touch a piece, cut up a bit of a sod in that vicinity, it'll all be in blueprint. It'll all be in plan. It'll all be written down. And this is so with God. Everything's written down. It's all planned. On the earth, the decrees of men are something that are recorded, that are written. They become law. It is what has to be done, what has to be fulfilled, what has to be carried out. We know that Parliament makes decrees. Parliament is sovereign over our nation, and it makes decrees for our nation. And all those decrees are written down. That's the first thing that happens. They're recorded. And then it all just carries on following that. And similarly with God, He makes decrees. It's the very first thing. And the Lord Jesus is referring to this in Psalm 2. God is a God who declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." So there's this divine counsel. It's a real thing. It has form and shape. It has thought and ideas and plans that are going to be carried out in the time to come. And that standing plan is written down. It's as real as that. It's as solid as that. It's as sure as that. And God has all these blueprints in His library. He has made a decree, for example, about the seas, about the waters, that they shall not pass a certain area. It's fixed. Whatsoever his soul desireth, that's what he doeth. That's what he decreeth. And so there are all these decrees. And what does that tell us about God? Whenever we look at the shelf with all the decrees, all his counsel, what does that tell us about him? Well, it tells us that this librarian is a king. That this librarian has authority and power. That this librarian is a ruler. You can tell his job. You can tell his work from the books that he owns. You see, kings are prone to say, "I make a decree." And whenever you see all these decrees in God's library, you say, "Well, this is a king." And whenever you begin to read all the decrees and study all the decrees and see how he has decreed everything, you begin to say, not only is he a king, but he's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's not only sovereign, he is absolutely sovereign over all things. He's the Most High. Yeah, he's the highest. Because these books are the books of his counsel after his own will. The books of the mystery of his will. The books of his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. So it is the book of the determinant counsel and the foreknowledge of God, the books of foreordination. God has all those books in his library. And man can't change the text. And man can't undo what is therein written. He will do all his will, and every word of his decrees he will fulfill. And so, people of God, whenever we walk through God's library, we can be assured our God is sovereign. Sovereign. Another book is the book, what we would call the book of the alive upon the earth. God has a register of names put in a book that are capable of being erased and blotted out. You remember Moses once referred to a book of God. The people of Israel had sinned. And he said, Moses prayed, the Lord, it looked like the Lord was going to give up on them. And Moses prayed, yet now, Lord, if thou wilt forgive their sin, then there's a pause. And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. Blot me out of your book. And to this petition, God replied and responded, and he said, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And so at this time, the Lord refused that prayer and that petition. Now, there has been divided opinion about what is meant by this book. It is a book, obviously, that has names in it. Moses' name is in it. Moses' name can be taken out of it. It can be blotted out. It can be erased. And he requests its removal. So this is a register in which Moses has been placed and from which his name can be removed. But this is a real book with God. He keeps a register of the living. I take this request of Moses to be a request to die. Moses is willing to die for the people, for their sin. To die for their sin. But God would not accept that. You see, there's only one person who can be blotted out of the book for the sin of others. And that's Jesus Christ, no one else. In time, Christ came, and he was willing to die for the sin of the people, and in their stead he stood, and his name was blotted out of this book for them. So only Christ's name can be blotted out for the sin of the people. But we all of ourselves must be blotted out and die for our own sin. Only Christ could die for the sins of others. Only Christ has that right and that privilege. But God keeps this book, you see. And whenever a man is born into the world, his name is written down. It's a register of present living. And when it comes for time to die, and it does come for time to die, because through the fall and through sin, death entered into the world, and death passed upon all men, and all men die for their sin. And so there comes a time whenever a man has to die, and his name is erased. He's no more living on the earth. He's not in the book of the living anymore. He's in the book of the dead. And so this is a book of the present living at any time. It is the book of the alive upon the earth. And what does that show about this librarian? That he keeps such a book. That he keeps it up to date every day. Every day when ones are born, he writes their names in. And every day when some die, he raises their names out. It's kept up to date. What does that say about God? Well, I tell you, if there's a man on earth who keeps his records and files like that, he's very thorough and he's very interested in the world. And God is very interested in the world. It shows his knowledge of mankind at any point in time, at any day, at any period. It shows his perfect and complete knowledge of mankind. He knows who is alive on the earth. He knows who has just been written in the book. He knows who is about to be blotted out of the book. He is kept up to date. He's actively involved in this register. Minute by minute. Involved in every birth. Writing down. Involved in every death. Erasing and rubbing out. And throughout all that time of those people are living, he gives them all opportunities, and he comes to all those names and all those people in different ways, and he sends them blessings, and he sends them privileges, every one of them. There's not one of them, but he visits in some way, even to make his sun to shine upon, or his rain to fall upon. He takes such an interest in men, such an interest in mankind. And he sends messengers and benefits and blessings and even at times angels to the names of the people in that register. Every death chamber, God is present. Every birth chamber, the Lord is there. Now that a man would keep such a register shows his interest in people. And God has this interest in the souls of men. All souls are mine. He writes over this register. Every one of them. And when he comes to call his people, he can call them by name because the names are written down. And he knows their names because they're written down and they are in the register of the living. There's a fourth book. It is referred to in that psalm that we read, Psalm 139 and the verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, here's another book of God, a divine book, the psalmist says, in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now this is a wonderful book. This is a very minute and a very detailed book. All my members. Now you can imagine how intricate the human body is. How many cells are in it. How many members. How many parts of it. Even to look at it in its outward appearance, its physical form, it has quite a lot of members. And they're all subdivided. There are other members that are not visible. And so the psalmist here is speaking about the body, the human body and its various parts. Whenever they're in plan, whenever they're in making, for being formed, God has all it written down. He'll have this member and that member. And this member will grow to be that size. Or it'll grow to be that size. It's all written down. Detailed. Intricate. You're the way God made you. Because it's all written down in his books. He's talking about our eyes and our ears and our tongue and our hands and our feet. We are minutely and fearfully and wonderfully made, as this psalm says. Our body parts are so elaborate and intricate. They're all functional. Because God is writing it down. God knows all about us, you know, men and women. He knows every part of you, every bit of you. He knows every member of you. He knows your soul. And he knows your heart. It's all written down in his book. God keeps detailed records, you see. What does this tell us about the Lord? Well, it tells us again of his interest in us, of his care for us. That he is loving and kind. That he is good. I mean, what master on earth writes down all the minute details about his servants? He hardly even thinks of his servants, as long as they get their work done and their job done. And, you know, don't annoy him at night, he's happy enough. But the Lord, he writes everything down. But all the members and all the parts of men and women. How caring God is. He knows our parts, he knows their number. He knows when we lose our members. He knows when they start to decay. It's all written down. Now, the way the Lord Jesus Christ put it, because he knew this book and he read this book and he devoured this book and he understands all about this book. And the way he put it is, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. The very hairs on your head. I've read it in my Father's book. They're all numbered. That's how detailed his knowledge is. That's how detailed his care is. It's all written down. The number of the hairs on your head. He keepeth all his bones, the Bible says. of his people. Not one of them is broken. Remember how it says, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Does the Lord care for your foot? Does the Lord worry about where your foot might dash? He even cares for our foot. He's like that. Very minute in his interest in us. So that it extends even to the very hairs of our head and the very feet upon which we walk. He will keep the feet of his saints. It's all written down. He has a care of all our parts, men and women. And he knows how these members are used too. And he cares how we use them. And he directs us through his word how we should use them. How we should use our eyes and our ears and our tongue. And he is so grieved when all of those members that he's written down with great carefulness, that we misuse them and dishonor him by them. He knows everything about us. This book tells us so. There's another book that God keeps, and it shows how caring and compassionate he is. It is the book of his people's tears. You read about this in the Psalm 56 and in the verse 8, where we read, "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" You see, here's another book. I mean, I'm not making this up tonight. Don't think that, oh, the preacher has a real wild imagination tonight. Now, I am speaking metaphorically, but it is setting forth something that's real, that has instruction for us, and God has a book of tears. You see, God's people are a people of tears. This is a sad world. You know, there's a flood of tears every day that flows through this world. The psalmist said, "I'm weary with my groaning. All the night I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears." And there are people like that, you know. And there are some Christians that are like that. And their pillows soaking wet at night. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears." My tears. So what does God do with these tears? Does he care at all about them? Yes, he cares. Our text shows that. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And whenever we go into his library and we start to pull down this volume, and there's something beside that volume as well, which we'll refer to you in a moment. But whenever you begin to look at these two items, you begin to see he does care. This librarian cares. He even cares about tears. He even writes about crying. In this verse, there are two receptacles for tears. There is, first of all, the bottle, God's bottle. "Put thou my tears into thy bottle." And then there is the book. "Are they not in thy book?" So there are two receptacles. There is the tear bottle itself. It's in the library too. But there's also the recording all about those tears in a book. God collects the tears and God catalogues the tears. That's what this verse is about. Now, I don't know if you're a collector, but, you know, men especially, they seem to like collecting. But collectors collect things. And men collect different things. Maybe they collect coins. Maybe they collect stamps. And they have their collection. The collection is one thing. But then they also catalog their collection. They like to do that. They like to keep a record of the cost and the history of the item and the circumstances surrounding that item, what country it's from, what time period it's from. And so there's all this detail, all this record kept in a book, and then there's the collection of the items themselves. And God is a precious and dear collector. And it just shows the kind of God he is. He collects tears. Imagine that. Tears. That hardly anybody sees, that most are done behind closed doors. And God, he goes from house to house and from couch to couch, and he collects the tears, and when he gets them to heaven, not only that, he writes it all down, he catalogues all about it, what caused those tears, what brought about those tears, how I relieved those tears. It's all there. He's so good. He's so gracious. All your tears, he writes up. He is gracious, this divine librarian. And this book betrays the great graciousness of his heart. There is also the book of remembrance. I'm just racing through these. We've a lot of ground to cover. There's the book of remembrance, Malachi 3, verse 16. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it. And behold, a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Now that's a powerful verse. So much in it. Every word has to be studied. Here's a book that God has a particular fondness for. It is constantly kept up to date. It is written up in his presence. Do you see those words before him? Before his face? A book of remembrance before him to be kept, to be written up. He overlooks this. He's making sure it's done right. Whenever someone's is done in their presence, he sees that it's done. He's seeing that it's been done at the right time. He's seeing that it's been done right. He's seeing that there's not been anything missed. So he notes the fellowship of the saints, because that's what this verse is about. The people of God coming together, the God-fearing, they're coming together and they're having the fellowship, and the Lord just loves that. And he gets his book opened and he gets his scribes and his writers, and they're writing up all the details in his presence. The Lord loves Christian fellowship. The Lord loves Christian converse. It's the fellowship of the God-fearing. It's the fellowship of those who want to hear about his name. Those that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. A book of remembrance is written up about them. Those that think and meditate upon his name as they come together. This means many things. In small Christian fellowships, in private and family worship, on the larger scale, in the church fellowship, a record is kept by God of the service of God. Of the services, especially when his people come together, the meetings. You know, God loves the services. He loves the meetings where his people fellowship and they're fearing him and they're worshiping him and they're thinking and meditating upon his name, and the preacher's preaching about the Lord, and all the people are just listening, and they're thinking about the name of the Lord. They're not caring about the preacher. They're not being taken up by him. They're just being taken up with what he's saying about the Lord, and the Lord loves that, and he just writes it all down. A book of remembrance. It's all recorded. All our meetings, all our services. If we have this God-fearingness and this true meditative spirit upon the Lord, upon his name. You know, this book to me, it shows how excited God is about the fellowship of the saints. It shows me how he is thrilled about their meetings and about their coming together and their worship of him. He just loves his people to, as it were, come around him and think upon him. And he just, get that book open. Write it down. Don't miss anything. Write it all down. Oh, that's a dear book to God. The book of remembrance. The remembrance of all our precious services where he's been the center. Where his name has been all that we've been taken up with. All we've wanted to speak about. We haven't wanted to talk about issues. We haven't wanted to go down these bypath meadows and talk about all these things that the flesh wants to hear about. No, we have determined, brethren and sisters, to be those who meditate on His name, on our dear Lord. And the Lord loves that. The book of remembrance is written. In the book of the Revelation, we read of some other books in the divine library. In Revelation chapter 20 and the verse 12, we read, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The books. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And so these are books of judgment. And they come out at the judgment day, and they're updated every day. They're updated hour by hour, day by day, month by month. Right up until the judgment day, this is a growing shelf. Well, these books are vast. They're mountainous. God's library is great. Daniel spoke about these as well, describing the Lord, a fiery stream issued and came from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. It was the judgment. It was being set, and the books came down. Out of the divine library, these books of judgment that God daily keeps up to date, and they were opened. Now, don't let anybody tell me God's not a librarian. The Bible clearly states it. He's recording all the time. These books are very many, as I said, and they contain records for everybody. Whoever lived. They are the records of the deeds of man. He's always writing, always recording, always putting down for the judgment day what is done by man. Every idle word which men they shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, because God has written it down. Every evil work is written down. Every good work also. God is always writing. Writing. Writing what I do. God must keep these books and these records because He is such a thorough judge. He cannot be slack in this department, in any area of this recording, for He is just and righteous. He cannot miss anything, for He must be seen at the last day, at the great judgment, to be the judge of all the earth who does right. And these records, these volumes, meticulously kept, are the proof that He's a righteous judge. And they're all opened. They're all opened. So that God can give every one of us according to our works. The Bible says, Thou renderest to every man according to his work. And at the end, all men, and all angels too, and all devils as well, because of these volumes, will have to fall silent and shut their mouths, knowing that it is all in those books that God has opened on that day. Think upon these things, men and women. Everything is recorded by God. The last book is the Lamb's Book of Life. The books were opened, but there is another book that was opened. Oh, God's people are so glad that book's there. This is special. It is stained with blood. It is the Lamb's book, His special volume. The Lamb's Book of Life. The Book of the Redeemed. The Book of those bought with the blood. The people of Zion, the register of the saints of the heavenly Jerusalem, those who have been given to the Lamb even before the foundation of the world, whose names have been put into this volume so that he knows them all by their names. They have been given to him. They are those for whom he died. They are those that he has called in the gospel and brought to himself in time through grace. The people who have saving faith. All true Christians who have been made contrite for all their sins and who have confessed them and sought cleansing and the pardon of God in Christ's blood alone. They're down here in this volume. The church of the firstborn, whose names are all written in heaven. This book is vast as well. The names are innumerable. More than the sand of the sea for number. More than all the stars of the heaven. A vast body that Christ loves and whose names he intercedes for. And this book is frequently referred to in Scripture. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb. And then in Revelation 17 verse 8 we read that the beast that thou sawest and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder after him whose names were not written in the book of life. And that's why they do it, you know, because they're not in this book. They're not among God's elect. There shall no wise enter into it, that is, into heaven, any that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they only which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You remember the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, you know, they were just on top of the world. We're doing miracles. We're healing people. It's so wonderful, Jesus. But he says, don't be rejoicing at that. Tomorrow you'll not have as much success, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In my book. In the Lamb's book of life. Remember how Paul said to the Philippians, I treat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and all my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. This is the Lamb's book of life. And this book tells us of God's love for his church. It tells us of God's cure for his church, of his knowledge for his church, of his care for all the members of the church. It tells us that he won't lose one. He will own them in that day. And all their sins and all their misdeeds and all their evil works have been answered for in the blood of the Lamb. And whenever time is over and that book is finished and sealed up, this will be the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And at the very last, as it is closed after the great judgment day, at the very last, this shall be the last pen entry in it. Not one of them is lost. Not one of them is lost. The Lamb's book of life. So you see how great a librarian God is, and how much we learn about his grace and his glory. And to him be all honour and glory this night. And to his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And to the blessed Holy Spirit, who has revealed these things unto us through his holy word, the triune God, be all glory. Amen.